The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Welcome to the Buck Ballou Show. We're doing a road show today. Hanging out at T-Mobile in Flowery Branch on Spout Springs Road. Get to see Road Dogg Gillespie today on the scene. Got Nerney and Derek Thomas back at the studio. Now, we're going to miss out on the Thanksgiving Day lunch we have served up at the studios today. But a shout out to Jay Christopher's and Henri's Bakery. I'm sure the boys are going to love it back at the studio. You're listening to The Fan, 680 and 93.7. Streaming at 680thefan.com. Get that fan app. Listen on the smart speaker. Brought to you by South Point Financial Services. Come on by and say hello. You got a chance to win tickets to the Georgia football game tomorrow in Athens and also win some other great prizes. I'm going to be hanging around after the show, do a little meet and greet. And it is great to be at the T-Mobile location in Flowery Branch, again on Spout Springs Road. Buck Ballou Show, sponsored by our good friends at Wellstar Health System. 10 o'clock hour brought to you by the Haug Law Group. Nerney, let's get to work.
Buck's Big Take.
The Falcons are a bad football team. Bad as in not good. The roster is littered with lower-tier players, and our fortunes are not going to change until we upgrade the personnel. And you can thank Q, and you can thank T for what we've got right now. Fontenot has got to find some football players, and I believe that's got to start on the line of scrimmage, where the Falcons have to be the worst in the National Football League. Our team has three legitimate linemen. You got Lindstrom, you got Matthews, and you got Grady Jarrett. Moving forward, this should be Fontenot's top priority, acquiring NFL-quality linemen. Look, we can't run it, and we can't protect. We can't stop the run, and we can't pressure. And that won't change until we upgrade the personnel up front. And that's the biggest reason why we've been outscored the last two games 68-3. Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot has 160 days until the NFL draft. The hope here is that he goes all in on linemen. That's right, a lineman-only draft. Demand it, Mr. Blank. Now, there is some good news. Falcons get the Jaguars next. So we might be able to get off the snide and break this losing streak. I had a friend down in Jacksonville texting me last night during the game and said, that Falcons-Jaguars game may end up 3-3. So there you go, man. A tough night on the scene last night. Tough to watch, obviously. Not a lot of fun. I actually dozed off. The game was so boring early on. But this is the worst it's going to get. No doubt about it. Let's hear from some of the Falcons here after the ball game last night. Let's start with the head coach, Arthur Smith. He says there's still time to fix things.
We have had some success this year in moments. We got to look at the matchups, maybe schematic of what we're doing. I mean, it's not all on the offensive line. I mean, we got to get things fixed all over the offense. You know, it's where we're at. You sit there and you ride the roller coaster. You feel like you're improving. And obviously the last 2 weeks, clearly not good enough. But they've done it, and we'll continue to work. That's the only thing we know how to do. I mean, that's what it is. We're going to play seven more games. And as bad as this feels, a lot of things can happen in seven games.
Look, you can't blame him for painting a picture where things can get better. That's what a head coach should be doing at this point in time. No reason to be beating down a team that is short on personnel. And look, the center from Temple, And I said this during the draft when T took the center from Temple. My goodness. He looked like the fullback last night because as soon as the ball was snapped, he was 3 yards behind the quarterback. And don't even get me started on Mayfield, who was drafted by Fontenot. Mayfield shouldn't be on the field either there at left offensive guard. Offensive line's got some major problems, and so does the defensive line. Let's hear from Matt Ryan. He said after the ball game, the offense needs to do more.
I think our defense did a nice job keeping us in the game the entire night, even, you know, well into the fourth quarter, you know, making it a two-score game. We had chances. And we've got to find a way. We just, you know, whatever it is, whatever we have to do moving forward, we've got to find a way to be more productive than we've been.
Yeah, because it's ugly now. We've hit rock bottom again, no doubt about it. Let's hear from Matt again talking about how the run game needs to improve.
It's one of the things we've got to do better. We've got to find a way. It sets up so many things. You know, it slows down pass rush. It helps you set up some of the play action pass that you're doing. But it also wears out, you know, a defense when you run the ball effectively. And that's certainly something we'd like to do better.
404-231-1680, the phone number. You want to jump in. I know you're disappointed. I know you're frustrated. But you had to expect a little of this coming into the season. Transition year. You got a turnover with the personnel, turnover with the coaching staff. You had to know coming in this wasn't going to be easy. Now, it's difficult to watch. I mean, good Lord, we've been outscored 68-3 in these last two games. We can't run the football. Improve the run game. We don't even have a running game. Running backs last night, 13 carries for 32 yards. Let me do the math for you, 2.4 per carry. Can't protect the quarterback. Matt's going to get killed back there. Got sacked 4 times. He got hit 12 times before Arthur got him out of the game. Third and long situations. 2 for 11 against Boston last night. 1 for 11 against Dallas. Let me do the math. 3 for 22 on third down in the last two games. No way you can even stay in the game when you're producing those type of numbers. And it all starts up front. We don't have the personnel to protect Matt Ryan or run the football. I mean, it's as simple as that. Offensive line, as Barkley would say, is terrible. And you look at the defensive line, Lord, only Grady Jarrett would be playing for any other team in the National Football League. It is downright ugly. Worst in the National Football League, the line of scrimmage play. And look, some of this is on Fontenot. He did have the one draft when he came in. And by the way, one more item, too. I could be a better return man than Avery Williams. And I'm just telling you like it is here. Avery Williams, we drafted a 5'8 cornerback that is returning kicks. He has not had a kick return of 20 yards the entire season. Zero. And that's on Fontenot right there. Avery Williams. Goodness, man. Humbling, disappointing, frustrating. We are not in a good place right now. Guess we can look forward to next weekend, though, as we take on Urban Meyer and the Jaguars. Until then, it's going to be hard to watch. Nerney, how hard was it for you to see this last night? When'd you turn it off and go to bed?
Well, it moved kind of quick, so I put myself through the whole 4 quarters. I just wanted to see. Once we started throwing interceptions in the fourth quarter, once Rosen threw his, then I just had to watch to see if Frank would indeed throw his interception to wrap up the game, and they did. But, yeah, it was pretty rough.
Sean, am I over the top when I'm saying the line of scrimmage play is the worst in the National Football League?
No, I mean, if you listen to the broadcast, I mean, Troy Aikman was so sympathetic towards Matt Ryan and the struggles that he had to endure. I mean, he got hit every single time he dropped back. And it wasn't like a case of good coverage down the field, you know, couldn't find somebody open, coverage sack. It was, you know, get back to your 3 or 5 step drop and immediately have pressure in your face all game long.
Is Hennessy going to start for any other team in the NFL?
I would probably say negative on that, especially not at center. If he could beef up and play guard where he didn't have to worry about snapping and stopping the bull rush in front. But I'll tell you this, any competent defensive coordinator going from here on out, He's going to put his biggest, best bull rusher on Matt Hennessy and just say, drive him back every single play, because apparently it's not too hard to do that.
Yeah, he was playing in the backfield last night as soon as he snapped the ball. Mayfield, is he going to start for any other team in the NFL?
I'll say this about Mayfield. Well, and let me drag McGarry in this as well, because at this point, on any passing play, I'm just taking those two guys off the field. McGarry, Mayfield, they can't pass protect. But I will say this, Mayfield, not this year, but down the road, he's okay in the run game. I can see him getting better, but as a rookie right now, he has no business starting on an NFL offensive line right now.
Do we have a legitimate defensive lineman other than Grady Jarrett?
Negative.
And I am just a three wood from the Falcons complex, so if you hear me getting beat up, I mean, it's not Zach Stacy in here. It is one of the Falcons linemen coming in here and roughing me up.
Hey, Terrell, though, he looked good. Had a nice interception last night.
Yeah, and again, we play the Jaguars next weekend, so there is some positive we can hang our hat on. Road Dog will protect me if any of these Falcons come in here want to take me to task. And again, we're live at the T-Mobile location in Flowery Branch on Spout Springs Road. You got a chance to come sign up, win a pair of tickets to the Georgia-Charleston Southern game coming up tomorrow at Sanford Stadium over in Athens. Got some other great prizes. Want you to come on by and say hello, and we'll talk about these Atlanta Falcons a little bit. Coming up next, though, I've got Kirby's five-point game plan for the game tomorrow. We'll talk a little Jackets Notre Dame. John Michaels will join us because there's a lot going on in Miami with the Hurricanes. We'll talk about it next here on the Belew Show on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
Thank you, Buck.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Belew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best. We've got the Buck Belew Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7. Got me and Road Dog hanging out today live at the T-Mobile location in Flowery Branch on Spout Springs Road. Come on by and say hello. Pick up one of these Samsung Galaxy Z phones. Road Dog's looking at one right now. Got a chance to win some tickets to the Georgia game coming up tomorrow at Sanford Stadium. But you got to come by and drop your name in the box. Road Dog will be pulling a winner coming out a little later after the show. We're going to hang out for an hour, too, Road Dog. You aware of that? Say hello to the people and be a part of the scene here. So that's what we've got going on today. If you're looking for a place to tailgate before that big conference championship game, join the Ultimate Conference Championship Tailgate presented by Fleet Cards USA. Our party's going to start at 12:30, and we've got a primo location, Marietta Street and Centennial Street intersection. Got drinks from Corona, freshly made libations from Maker's Mark, delicious food from Bojangles. It's boat time. We got live music from all that. Lock up your free ticket right now at 680thefan.com/tailgatecentral. Now, you got to be 21 or older to hang out at our party. And a huge thanks to Fleet Cards USA, Corona, Monster Energy, Maker's Mark, Georgia Peanut Commission, Anderson Power Services, Georgia Beef Board, Bojangles, and Lidl Food Market. Hope we'll see you there, man. I'm heading down there. I'll be a part of the scene checking things out. All right, I got my hands. I've got some contacts over at the University of Georgia, and I've got my hands on Kirby Smart's five-point game plan for the game against Charleston Southern tomorrow.
What's up, Buck?
And here we go with it. All right, number one, part of the Kirby plan is to cut a check for $500,000 and go ahead and give that to Charleston Southern for showing up and taking a beating. $500K they're going to walk away with. And Kirby, talking to Kirby, he's got some mixed feelings about playing these FCS opponents. Mixed feelings because, look, he understands that this kind of money funds the smaller programs. So the big picture of college football, this is good news. It helps fund these smaller programs and allows more student athletes to play football at the college level. That's a good thing, right? I believe it is. Now, the bad thing is the fans don't like it. Fans want to see a legitimate competition going on Saturday. And look, you can understand why. You got these ticket prices when you got to join these clubs and, you know, drop this big-time money. I mean, it's pretty expensive to go over, sit at Sanford Stadium and watch these games. So you want to see a big-time opponent, right, when you show up, when you pay that kind of money. So that's understandable. That's number one on the list. Drop them a check for $500,000. Now, number two on Kirby's five-point plan is prior to the game is to recognize the special senior class, give them a football, Georgia football, and then a framed jersey. You hug the parents, shake the players' hands, and you recognize the senior class. So that's part of the fun of playing a game like this is you can relax and reward these seniors. Number three on the list is for the Georgia starters to go out and deliver a technical knockout in the first half of the game. Basically, crush them with the running game, run right over them playing physical football, and you allow the starters to go out and mix it up for the first half of the game. Number four on Kirby's five-point plan is to put the backups in to get some experience with the backups to allow the depth to feel game action, be a part of that. So you'll see the backups getting their playing time in the second half of the game, which is a good thing. They need to get some playing time. They practice just like those other dudes. They should give them a chance to play. And then number five on the five-point plan for Kirby is to try to protect the health of these dinged-up players. Now, look, I'm not so sure the Tech game next week is going to be one of those knockdown dragouts. So you got a couple of weeks here to get the dinged up players healed up and ready to go against Alabama coming up in a few weeks down at MBS. Before that big tailgate I was just telling you about. Reportedly, there's some players on the flu list this week. Now, I have not been able to get my hands on that. Not that I want to. I want to stay as far away from that flu bug as a person can stay away from, man.
The whole store got the flu.
Yeah, I don't want any part of that flu, brother. That's why I was staying at the studio at the Battery Atlanta on Monday while Road Dogg was over at the Georgia Complex hanging out with those guys. Road Dogg, you don't have the flu, do you?
I've had no symptoms.
Okay,
so
no
I
symptoms.
I think I'm safe.
Good news. So Kirby's five-point plan against Charleston Southern. Cut them a check for $500,000 for showing up. Recognize the seniors. Have the starters deliver a technical knockout in the first half. Get the backups in there in the second half to get some playing time. And then protect the health of these dinged-up players. And that's what Kirby's looking to do.
Thank you, Buck.
Coming up tomorrow. We appreciate Kirby coming on the show earlier this week, too. Road Dogg, how much did we have to pay Kirby to get him on the Buck Ballou show this week?
Oh, that's an undisclosed amount that I'm not allowed to put out there in the public sphere.
Okay. Well, we can accept that. Let's talk a little Georgia Tech football. We got Tech playing Notre Dame coming up tomorrow in South Bend, Indiana. You know they're calling it Notre Dame, Indiana now? I guess the campus grew or they changed the city limits, because for decades it was South Bend, Indiana. Now suddenly you look at it as Notre Dame, Indiana. Not that that has anything to do with the Tech game, nor does Rudy either. I heard the Locker Room Show talking about the Rudy movie earlier today. I want to talk about the game, and I want to talk about the fact that you shouldn't expect to see Georgia Tech quarterback Jeff Sims running around, running this Jackets offense in South Bend or Notre Dame tomorrow. Sims was last seen with his foot in a protective walking boot last Saturday. And, you know, experience tells me when you see a guy in one of those walking boots, they are probably not going to be healthy enough to play in a football game the following Saturday. That's my reaction to that. So he's either got a foot or an ankle injury, and I'm not expecting to see Sims play against Notre Dame. And that means Jordan Yates will get that honor and privilege of starting against the great Notre Dame, who's having another solid season. Jordan Yates has played a lot of football for Tech because Jeff Sims has been dinged up a lot. So that will help Tech offensively, Yates coming in there. And I do believe that Yates is a better option than Sims when it comes to managing the offense. It seems that Yates is a little more consistent running the offense. So that's a good thing for the Jackets tomorrow. Also, I believe Yates is more efficient passing the football than Sims. Sims has the bigger arm. He can get it downfield. He can fit it into tight spots because of the arm strength. But there's more to it than that than playing the quarterback spot. Sims, not as efficient as Yates. Yates is a better distributor. He reads coverage better. He spreads the ball around better. He's more accurate than Sims. And also, I believe Yates, even though Sims is recognized as the better runner of the ball, that Yates is better at extending plays. We're not necessarily running with it, but getting outside the pocket, extending the play, keeping your eyes downfield, and throwing it to the open receiver when you can find one. So Yates is a better option when it comes to these parts of playing the quarterback position. Look, Tech has lost four in a row. They're facing a top 10 team on the road. They're a 17-point underdog. It looks like another long day for the Jackets coming up tomorrow. You know, the word on the street, and I was talking about it on Monday, about Collins, is his job safe over at Georgia Tech facing another three-win season this year. Word on the street is Jeff Collins, his job is safe for one more year. And then I believe the buyout becomes more affordable. So I think Jeff Collins is going to have another year to get this thing turned around. And, you know, typically what happens is the administration will come to the coach and say, we're not going to fire you yet, but you're going to have to fire some of your trusted, valued assistant coaches. And then the coach says, he goes home and he tells the wife, look, if I don't fire, you know, these trusted assistant coaches, then I'm not going to get that $3 million they're going to pay us next year. And the wife says, well, cut them loose. Cut them loose because we want to keep that salary. Georgia Tech and Notre Dame. Look for Jordan Yates in that game tomorrow. Now let's get to a college football nugget.
Tasty. Time for the college football nugget. Presented by your locally owned and operated Ace Hardware. Find your neighborhood store at acehardware.com.
Man, the college football coaching carousel is wide open right now. It is running wide open. The rumors are flying around. So we're talking about yesterday, Mel Tucker up at Michigan State. I was told was the number one priority for LSU. Looks like Mel's about to sign that big-time, big-money extension with the Spartans. So it doesn't look like he's going to be going anywhere. Jimbo Fisher, he told us earlier this week that he's not the dumbest man on the planet. Why would he recruit this great recruiting class at Texas A&M, leave and go to LSU and have to play against those guys? Plus, he likes his farm. He likes his horses there at College Station. Jimbo, go ahead and mark him off the list, too. Lincoln Riley's been dealing with these rumors that he might bolt for LSU. No, he's staying at Oklahoma. Come on, man. So it looks like LSU, they have now dropped down to the B list for head coaching candidates. And the number one option on that B list looks like Baylor head coach Dave Aranda, former LSU defensive coordinator. Done a fine job at Baylor. What about Lane Kiffin? I have mentioned Kiffin this week. It's being an option maybe at LSU. Kiffin's making good money at Ole Miss, but it's not about the money, right? It's about going to a place where you can recruit big-time talent every single year, and that would give you an opportunity to win big every year. Lane Kiffin, I'm not sure he can. In fact, he can't do that at Ole Miss. Rumors are flying around today, though, that Miami will fire Manny Diaz. And the number one guy on their list, Lane Kiffin. Bolting Ole Miss, taking that Miami Hurricane job. As Manny Diaz, his time is probably up down at Miami. And there's your college football nugget. Let's go to the Hobson & Hobson newsmaker line. Bring on John Michaels, one of the stars of that locker room show and the biggest Miami Hurricane fan that I know. So, John, how do you react to this story? Getting rid of Manny Diaz, I think you're in favor of that. But what about Lane Kiffin coming and taking over that Hurricane program?
Well, Buck, first and foremost, I feel honored to finally get my maiden voyage on the Buck Ballou Show, which is very, very awesome from 10 to 11 every Monday through Friday. I've been in favor of Manny Diaz being fired. I would have fired him 2 years ago after losing to FIU and Louisiana Tech in a bowl game. As far as Lane Kiffin goes, I'll disagree just a hair. I don't think he's choice one, but he's definitely choice 1B. I think Mario Cristobal out at Oregon would be choice one, and if they swing and miss at him, I think Lane Kiffin then becomes the next logical choice. I would love it. Miami needs a coach that has an attitude. Miami needs a coach that has swagger. Miami needs a coach that on the sideline will tell you, get your popcorn ready because I'm going to go try and score as many points on you as I can. And I think Lane Kiffin checks every single one of those boxes.
What has been the downfall for Diaz?
How long do we have? There's been a lot of them. I think, honestly, I think the biggest thing is he was never able to capture the off-season bravado that he had into the regular season. You think about it, Manny Diaz, when he got the job, comes in and literally is on a yacht at a board of trustees member. He then shows up at a Florida State recruiting party and basically crashes the party and starts handing out beers to, you know, dignitaries and recruits. The problem is you have that in the offseason and you don't win during the regular season. First year he hired a bad offensive coordinator in Dan Enos. Fixed that with Rhett Lashley. Things it looked like they were turning around a year ago at 8-3. But then this year, you come back with 19 of 21 starters back. You change your defensive coordinator. You tell everybody, I'm going to take it over. And your defense has given up over 30 points a game. Very un-Miami-like. Manny Diaz, again, more style than actual substance. And that's a problem when you're not winning football games.
John, as far as Cristobal goes, you think he looks at Oregon as being a better job than Miami? How do you see that?
It is a better job. As hard as that is for me to admit, and, you know, I'm the biggest Miami supporter in the world, Miami's a tier two job right now, at best. Oregon is in that tier one because you have a guy like Phil Knight who's willing to spend unlimited resources. You have, obviously, unbelievable facilities out there, the best uniform combinations in the country, and you have a watered-down Pac-12. If they win out, Oregon's going to the college football playoff. They have the number one pick in the draft on their football team in Kayvon Thibodeau. He has a recruiting class that's in the top 10 for next year. Mario Cristobal realizes he's got a potential, I don't want to say dynasty because it's not going to be Alabama or Clemson, but a potential college football playoff contender every single year at Oregon. The allure, though, to going back to Miami. Mario won two national championships at Miami. His wife is from Miami. He's from Miami. His twin brother still lives in Miami. His mother still lives in Miami. He wanted the Miami job 3 years ago before Manny Diaz got it. So I think if there's two jobs in the country that Mario Cristobal would walk away from Oregon for, it's Alabama, where he coached under Saban, and it's Miami, the allure of going back home. Do I think it's likely, though? Probably not. How do you walk away from the number three team in the country to leave and go to a place where you're 5-5 and you're looking at another rebuild?
You know, I think Lane Kiffin's a really good fit with the Miami Hurricanes, and I've got some reasons why. He can recruit the state of Florida, where he's already been as a head coach, and he can really capitalize on the fact that the Gators are down, the Seminoles are down, UCF's down. He's got swagger. He can recruit the state of Florida, plus he gets away from Nick Saban and the SEC West. I think this is the best fit for the Hurricanes.
You know, Buck, I was arguing with Ole Miss fans about what's a better job. And my point is something you just said. Ole Miss will never be better than probably fifth best in their own conference. In the last 40 years, Ole Miss has won 10 games twice. There are historically 500 at best type of program. And yes, Lane Kiffin's done an unbelievable job getting them to 8-2 this year. Will they ever be better than Alabama? No. On a normal basis, are they better than LSU? No. Auburn's better than them. Texas A&M's elevated the program. And everything you just said about what he can do at Miami, he's already got relationships. He still has a house in East Boca Raton, which is about 45 minutes north of the Miami campus. And think about what he walks into next year if he takes the Miami job. They've got a kid named Tyler Van Dyke, who, if anybody's paying attention, had four straight weeks of throwing for 300 yards and has really reinvigorated the Miami offense. You think Lane Kiffin, with his offensive genius, couldn't go down there and have him, a Jalen Knight at running back, a Will Mallory at tight end, maybe Charleston Rambo at wide receiver, and put up unbelievable numbers? I would be very, very happy if Miami went out and hired a guy like Lane Kiffin.
John Michaels, one of the stars of the Locker Room Show. John, we appreciate you coming on, brother. Have a good weekend.
You too, Buck. Anytime.
There he goes, John Michaels, big Hurricane man. Leads us right into the Bulldog Roundtable.
The Fan is proud to be the official sports talk station of the Dogs. And it's time for Bulldog Roundtable with Buck Ballou.
25-20, far sideline, 15-10, 5. Get in there! Touchdown!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org. Georgia Pack and Load. Move the smart way. Move the pack and load way. Online at gapackandload.com. And by attorney Ken Nugent. One call, that's all.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Only on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Time for the Bulldog Roundtable. It'll be a cupcake Saturday in the SEC. You got a lot of these cupcake games going on, and Georgia right in the middle of it, taking on Charleston Southern. LSU taking on Louisiana Monroe. Tennessee playing South Alabama. Kentucky, New Mexico State. So this is what we get as we head into rivalry weekend coming up next week. Kirby Smart joined me earlier this week on the Buck Ballou Show, and obviously we talked a little bit about the quarterback situation. Stetson Bennett firmly installed as the starting quarterback for Georgia. You saw that up in Knoxville where Stetson was leading the offense the entire game. JT Daniels did not step on the field once in that game. And Kirby spoke to the media afterwards and was talking about how the difference is that Stetson Bennett, his ability to run with the football sets him apart and really gives Georgia what Kirby feels like is a better shot to win because of his running ability. Let's hear from Kirby what he told me earlier this week on the Buck Ballou Show about Stetson Bennett's impact on that run game.
His legs have been a big game changer. You know, the plays he's made with his feet have made us probably more explosive offense in terms of converting third downs. And, you know, some plays where it's just, you know, it's not going to be there, and he's got to be able to buy some time, and I think he's done a nice job of that.
As far as JT Daniels go, I would imagine you're going to see him play some tomorrow against Charleston Southern. I asked Kirby during our interview if he still had confidence in JT.
JT's done a tremendous job. JT's very accurate, smart, intelligent, gets a lot of the protections and run game stuff right, and has really been good in third downs and in practice, and continues to develop and get better. And I really think he's ready if we need him.
So, yeah, I look at the situation at quarterback with the fact that if Georgia falls behind, and I wouldn't expect that would be tomorrow, and I wouldn't expect it to be in clean, old-fashioned hate coming up next week. I believe the first opportunity that Georgia would have falling behind in a game would be in the SEC title game against a high-scoring Alabama team. That might be a situation where Kirby would bring his passing quarterback off the bench, trying to run down Alabama if the game developed into one of those high-scoring affairs and Georgia fell behind early. Now, as far as the drop-off in competition level coming up tomorrow, taking on Charleston Southern, I also asked Kirby if he was going to stay on the guys this week so they're not looking ahead.
You know, with a mature team, you got to be honest with them, and you tell them, hey, this week's about us getting better. It's about us working really hard and improving on things that we can get better at and go out and play to our standard and handle business, because you want to start fast in these games.
So you can look forward to seeing a lot of these guys play in the game. I think the flu bug, Road Dog was telling me, has run through the team. I'm not sure how many guys are on that list, but that's going to open up playing time for some of the other players on the team. And, you know, what I want to see is really more of these backups on the defensive line, see what they're bringing to the table. You got Logue, Brinson, Walthor are three guys I need to see a little bit more of. I'd like to see some of these younger linebackers that we hadn't seen a lot so far this season. Tindall and Walker and Dean, they are all on the NFL scouts' radar with the level of play they're bringing to the table. I want to see some of these other outside or inside linebackers, guys like MJ Sherman, see what they bring to the table. A couple of freshmen, too, that were highly thought of in the recruiting class. Be nice to see some of them get a little playing time, too, on that defensive side of the ball. So Georgia and Charleston Southern coming up tomorrow, Senior Day. Get on out and cheer on those seniors as they look to have a very big day for the Georgia Bulldogs. All right, coming up next, we're going to chop it up. Got that Freddie Freeman free agency watch, day number 13 going on, and we'll finish up with a final word. We are live, Buck Belue Show, live at the T-Mobile location in Flowery Branch on Spout Springs Road. Want to invite you to come on by, get a great deal, and we're going to be hanging out with some great prizes. Come on by and say hello. It's the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7. Hope your Friday's off to a great start. It's the Buck Belue Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Belue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best. Here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7, me and Road Dog are hanging out at the T-Mobile location in Flowery Branch, Spout Springs Road. We're going to be here for another hour after the show ends. Want to invite you to come on by, maybe win some Georgia football game tickets. So stop by and say hello. Also, a heads up, tomorrow morning, Buck Belue's College Football Today show gets underway at 7 a.m. Be early in the morning time. Me and Steve West breaking down week 12, the college football season, and Cupcake Saturday in the SEC. We'll have some deep dives into the Georgia Tech Notre Dame game, Alabama and Arkansas, Ohio State and Michigan State. I think West even wants to talk Cincinnati and SMU. Plus, we'll have plenty of dogs talk. Hope you'll join us tomorrow morning on The Fan, the college football voice of the South. Let's chop it up.
Time to talk Braves. Let's chop it up. Presented by Haug Law Group, your local personal injury attorneys. HaugLawGroup.com.
And his pitch on the way. Swung on and hit well. Deep to the chop house. That is out of the ballpark. Tie game again. Freddie Freeman rounds the bases for the 29th time this season. That went into the second deck of the chop house. That was hammered.
Yeah, that Freddie Freeman's something special. Would love to hang on to him. By the way, his free agency watch here on the Buck Belue Show into day number 13. And the word on the street today is the Braves, their sticking point in the negotiations with Freeman on a contract extension, are all about a sixth year on the contract. A sixth year. The Braves don't want to go there. A sixth year would take Freddie Freeman through age 37, which I wouldn't think would be that big a deal with Freddie Freeman. He's always been fit. He's in great shape, rarely injured, unless he's been beaned by a pitch. And don't we have the DH coming? So let's say during the 6 years, Freddie, he drops off defensively. I think that swing that he has is going to hold up for 6 years. So we got the DH coming. Come on, Braves. Let's re-sign Freddie Freeman. And I don't believe that's going to get me in trouble. It's 680 The Fan. One other note here that I want to dive into while we're talking Braves. The most valuable player in the National League, that announcement was dropped last night. And I mean, the people that voted have voted Bryce Harper as the most valuable player in the National League. He got 17 of the 30 first place votes. Austin Riley finished 7th. Freddie Freeman finished 9th. Ozzie Albies finished 13th. Bryce Harper, the most valuable player. The Phillies finished 12 back. I mean, Mike, was it 6.5 back? Yeah, 6.5 games back out of the postseason. Bring on the weak-ass Phillies. Are these people paying attention? Because in the biggest series of the season for the Philadelphia Phillies, Bryce Harper against the Braves went 0-for-11 and struck out 5 times. Now, does that sound like the most valuable player to you? Because it doesn't to me. So I guess what it amounts to is Bryce Harper was the most valuable player of the mediocre teams. And to me, the MVP should go to the most valuable player off the teams that made it to the postseason. Isn't that what every team's trying to do? So how can you be the MVP if you're on a team that doesn't even make it to the postseason? Doesn't make any sense to me. Bryce Harper, man, I don't know how proud of that trophy I would be. The most undeserving, most valuable player of all time, Bryce Harper. And Soto finished 2nd. You know, the Nationals didn't make it either. I guess when you win the World Series, these things shouldn't bother you so much. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Let's get Freddie Freeman signed, please, whether it takes the sixth year or not. I'm willing to pitch in a little bit. I know it's, you know, we're getting close to the holidays and you got a budget for Christmas and all that. I'm willing to pass the hat, pitch a little money in there for Freddie Freeman. And that will take us right up to the final word on the show today. Got that clean old-fashioned hate game coming up next week after Thanksgiving. And wanted to drop or alert you to the special two-part Bucks Beat Georgia-Georgia Tech rivalry podcast. Part one dropped earlier this morning and is featuring Georgia Tech's legendary quarterback, friend and colleague Joe Hamilton. In this part one, Joe and I talk about our game experiences in clean old-fashioned hate. Joe beat Georgia twice, and he's really proud of it. And he enjoys talking about it, and we'll hit on that. The games I played in against Georgia Tech, we were 3-0. So I've got some good stories to pass along, some good memories there too. Part two will drop at the beginning of next week. Joe and I will break down this 2021 Georgia-Georgia Tech matchup.
No.
Bucks Beat sponsored by my good friend Mickey Himes and the GetMickey.com team at Keller Williams. If you're looking for a property on Lake Lanier or a home up 400, Mickey's your guy. Bucks Beat podcast also sponsored by T-Mobile. Hey, we're at T-Mobile here today. Flowery Branch, come on by and say hello. By the way, you can find the podcast wherever it is you get your podcast, or you can find it at thepodcastpark.com. Now, if you don't see it initially, you got to scroll down to find it. So scroll down, you'll find it at the bottom of the page. And this week we got the special two-part podcast with Joe Hamilton. Getting you ready for Georgia-Georgia Tech next week. All right, that's going to do it for the Buck Belue Show today. Thanks for hanging out. Be back on Monday. Got Nick and Chris coming up next. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you, Buck.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Belue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.